We gaze through the same eyes, you and I, written and read by Philippa Kennedy. Two fists boring into his face repeatedly. Dinner time was always met with Mum's protests that Christian should stop rubbing his eyes. Was it a nervous twitch, perhaps? Or was there some kind of itch deep within his skull that two fists couldn't quite reach? It was continuous. We learned that if we saw him doing it, we were to pull at the fists and tell him to stop. He learned that it was best to rub his eyes in the shower or in the privacy of his room, avoiding dinner times and family events. His bloodshot eyes always gave away that the rubbing hadn't stopped, but as long as he didn't actively do it in front of us, there was little we could do to stop it. January rolled around and Christian's surgery was booked in. It's better to do both eyes at once, the doctor reasoned, and it was only after that we understood why. Being completely conscious while needles were inserted into your unblinking eyeballs is not an experience anyone would willingly submit themselves to more than once. Many, not at all, if they knew the true extent of the surgery. But going blind seemed reason enough to go through with the doctor's experimental treatment. Remortgaging the house wasn't even talked about when the NHS waiting time was revealed to my parents. It was done. In the time it took for 200 elderly patients to have their cataracts removed, my 17-year-old brother would go blind. Not partially or slightly or a bit. Blind. I remember laying my mum's bed in the aftermath, the curtains pulled tightly closed, and my brother swaddled in a duvet like a newborn. The record player was to the left of the bed, continuously churning out Tracy Chapman, until my main memory of the entire event was clouded in the lyrics of Fast Car and Behind the Wall. In that week, there were a lot of screaming, and then there was a lot of drug-induced hallucinations where my brother would have conversations with the other chairs in the room. Sometimes he tried to escape and be hauled back into bed by Dad, the door tightly pulled behind him and the curtains repositioned so that no light could enter the room. My main memory of that week is standing in the hallway, leading my little sister away from the hysterics and repeating over and over again that things would be okay till my voice intermingled with Chapman's to fill the space. And that's why we gazed through the same eyes, you and I. Years later, when I filled out the details for my provisional licence, a tab popped up to fill out a donor card. The initial page allows you to opt in and out for certain organs. The bulk of my body didn't really bother me. Why would I care if someone else had my kidney or a lung for my corpse? They seemed so inanimate and unfeeling within my body, as if they weren't really part of me, other than the basic function of keeping me. Yet when I scrolled down and corneas popped up, I paused. The feeling of giving away my perception seemed to be giving up a major part of who I was. Hazel eyes with flecks of gold that chose the littlest golden pup in the litter that licked my primary school hands and rosy cheeks with his big, red, lolloping tongue. All the eyes that fixed upon the baby doll cradled in my mum's arms as her pinkish lips erupted into a web and her porcelain skin bunched up around her own flecked hazel eyes. My memories were shrouded in sight and colour and light, and for you to receive that was with no knowledge of me, well, that was too much. You were asking too much of me. But in the back of my mind, haunting and plaguing me, was the thought that if Christian surgery ever failed, he too would rely on someone giving up their own self-importance and ownership of flesh so that he, a 17-year-old boy, could see again. So forgive me for my reservation in passing my flesh to you, because you and I gaze through the same eyes of suffering. You are my brother, the person blinded by their own genetic default, and I am the one who retains no flesh of their own.